Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
So yeah, I actually have a lot of students out here, or some
fans
that I've taught. Let me hear from you. Yes? Yes?
Julie paves the way for me. No one knows me. They all know you. It's all
right. Well.
How many of you knew Miss Julie from camp?
Yes.
She's a parent liaison there as well. Done that for about 13 years, haven't
15.
You? 15 years. All right.
Yeah, I just can't give up summer camp. I can't grow up.
No, you can't. Yeah. Well, let's pray together. Lord, I just want to thank you for your blessings. I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to, Lord, spend time worshiping in your word. Lord, just be with us and guide us as we speak your word. Allow us to be changed, all of us, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, did you have a good Thanksgiving? Amen. Well, an integral part of Thanksgiving is the table, right? Today we're talking about the family table. Now, when you think of the family table, what comes to mind? Maybe some shows on TV like The Waltons.
Whoa, that's old school there.
That's old school. I watch the reruns.
Real reruns, yeah, way back.
The Cosby Show, which is more my time. Any other 80s here? Yes.
All right, okay.
Full House, which is getting into a little bit. Yeah, I hear some reactions. So what I think about, they're sitting around the table. They're talking. This is a regular thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, today that kind of feels like a relic of the past.
Exactly. Today we eat at the counter, maybe in front of the TV, in the car, maybe even separate rooms. And even when we do sit down, we're rushed. Have you ever felt rushed?
Mm.
Maybe we're the only ones, all right? We bring our phones, we bring our stress, our calendars sit at the table with us sometimes. The moment that should be sacred becomes crowded by distractions.
But yet research keeps telling us what the Bible, what Scripture has modeled all along, that shared meals are powerful. Families who eat together experience better physical health, emotional health, and mental health. God knew what he was doing when he designed the rhythms around the table.
Absolutely. Well, a table is just wooden screws or ceramic or whatever your table's made of nowadays until people gather around it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it becomes something holy, not in a mystical way, but in an everyday sacred sense. It becomes an altar where connection happens.
I love that you say that, an altar of worship. That's really what the family table is. It's where we slow down, where we see one another, and people just want to be seen, right? It's where we practice love in small, consistent, faithful ways.
First, let's talk about the family, because every family looks a little different, don't they?
Mm-hmm. So our family looks different than the Wetmores or the Paradises or the Bachmans, or I could go on and all. We all look different, don't we?
Yeah. In our family, there's two of us, 30 years this year.
Amen. Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Thank you.
And our three boys, Mason, Adam, and Liam.
Yep, but they're not boys anymore. We have two of them here with us. Thank you for coming. You can see on the picture. So they're all men now. And our two oldest are married with their own wives, and our youngest is at college. So our family looks different now than it did 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah, and therefore our family table can look different now than it did when our kids were little. The cycle of families ebbing and flowing, it's a natural thing, isn't it? It happens.
So there's no typical family. It may consist of singles, of empty nesters, those without children, blended families. It may be a broken or dysfunctional family, which I think we all are, right?
Yeah, what's functional?
Right. But it's a family nonetheless.
Right. The family can be neighbors or friends or even church members. Regardless, the family table is a sacred place of connection and community.
All right, so let's walk through that, Brad. What is it about the table that makes it so special, the family table? What actually happens at the table?
Well, Julie, the first thing is simply sitting together, just getting there, showing up with the with presence and priority. You know, with today's hectic schedules, just getting to the table is half the battle. Would you agree with me? Just getting there. Let's look at Luke 10, 38 to 42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing.
Like at Thanksgiving.
Maybe, yes. Mm-hmm. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will be not taken away from her."
It will not be taken from her. So I confess this past week, and let me know if you're with me. I had a big crowd come into my house, lots of food. I was getting a little bit frazzled sometimes.
Martha-ish.
A little bit Martha-ish. Ish.
Ish.
Ish. And of course, I said, "Brad, can you come help, please?"
I did help. But you need to urge me a little bit.
But I had tons of help. My daughter-in-law, Tiffany, was my co-chef. And yeah, but it can get frazzling, yes. But what was it that Jesus said to Martha that was the important thing, worth being concerned about?
Well, Martha was focused on the preparations, the meal, the details, all good things. Isn't it important to have good food?
Yeah.
All right, okay. It's important. I mean, what's a meal without good food? Now, my mother, who's passed away now over 2 years, we really miss her, but she was a Martha.
She was.
I mean, Martha in every sense. I mean, when it came to food, she would prepare the meal. She would set the table. She would put the food before us. And even before we were done eating, she was cleaning up. You're eating and she's trying to take the plate from you. "No, Mom, I'm not done yet." Remember when she'd come to our house and she would start cleaning when we were first married and we had Mason as a baby? At first, Julie was offended. Like, "What's this lady doing? Coming to the house and starting to clean." She starts rearranging the linen closet. But then we realized it was her gift. And Julie, after a while, when we started having kids, what happened?
Well, I learned to appreciate it. I learned that that was her love language. But you can't just... What Jesus said to her was what?
Well, Jesus said to Mary, Jesus said that Mary, who chose to simply sit at his feet, had discovered really what mattered. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be Martha, but we need to emphasize what Mary did.
Yeah, the sitting at his feet. You know, I'm a word nerd. My students know this. I'm a word nerd. I was an English major and then a Bible minor in college, and I've taught English and I teach Bible now, and I love to go and look at the original language. What's the website we use? What's the app? Bible Hub.
All right,
see, yeah. It's for everyday people. I've taught it to my 7th and 8th graders, and it's something we can all use. So I love, because I can be a bit of a geeky scholar that way.
Nerd.
Yes, I claim it. So okay. Anyway, the word, I looked up the word for sit in this passage, and it's called parakathizomai. And what it means is not just to sit down, but to sit beside.
So Julie, it's not just sitting, it's being beside.
Yes.
Mary sat beside Jesus, listening, lingering, choosing presence over productivity. Martha was choosing the work of serving Jesus. Mary was choosing Jesus himself. Mm. Jesus would rather us be with him than busy for him.
Let's say that again. Jesus, say it with me. Jesus would rather us be with him than busy for him. Ooh, that's good. That's good. So that should be us at the table. When we sit down beside our people, beside one another, parakathizomai, we're saying, for this moment, I choose presence over productivity. I choose you.
Sometimes the holiest thing you can do is to simply sit with your people.
But let's be real.
Well,
life is busy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're rushed, we're stressed, and Satan is going to try to make us. This is the devil at work. He's going to try to make us so busy that we don't feel like we have time to sit down.
He attacks us.
He does.
Absolutely.
He does. And of course, there are times when we're too busy to sit down, but we have to be intentional about it.
That's right.
Now, we struggle with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes we're, you know, we'll talk about this later, about too tired to cook food, so we don't need to sit together. You could sit together with a bowl of Cheerios.
Yeah, gourmet Cheerios, right?
Gourmet, or maybe get the multigrain, the little next level, right? Some of you
it's
Cheerios
about,
fans.
Hey, Cheerios are great. But it's about being intentional.
That's right.
To sit down together.
So we sit together, but once we sit, what comes next?
Well, so we sit together, then we savor together. We delight in what's in front of us. Yes, the food. Hey, we had Thanksgiving. My favorite this year was the sweet potato casserole.
No, it wasn't.
I loved savoring that. It was.
Well, you like Tiffany's greens, though. You like your greens.
I did like the greens. I loved the greens, but the sweet potato casserole, I keep going back.
I'm trying to divert.
What about you, Brad?
No, you know I didn't like the sweet potato casserole. You know I don't like sweet potatoes in any way, shape, or form. anyone else not liking sweet potatoes here?
Okay, you haven't had my sweet potatoes.
Doesn't matter. I just can't get myself to them. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You did like the mashed potatoes.
I love the mashed potatoes for sure, and I love the stuffing.
You mean the dressing?
No, I mean stuffing.
Okay, how long have we been married? 30 years. This has been a 30-year debate in our household. I'm from Georgia, so it's dressing.
Well, I'm from Pennsylvania, so it's stuffing.
So how many team dressing do we have out here? Come on. All right.
Okay, how many of you say stuffing?
You're all wrong. You're wrong. Now, to be fair, there's a difference between stuffing and dressing. It's made differently. Stuffing goes in the turkey, dressing goes to the side. But since I'm the one cooking, and it's my mama's cornbread dressing casserole, and she died last year before Thanksgiving, so as I was making this cornbread dressing, it was in homage to her. So,
and I did not use the curse word stuffing at all on Thanksgiving.
You thankfully.
In honor of your mother. And you
so
too.
So it's dressing, yes.
Man, it was easier to talk about this next subject when our kids weren't here. But, Adam, here we go. We got our middle son, Adam. We call him our middleist. He's no longer middleist. He's middle. But he's the best example that we have of savoring.
Am
Every
I right?
bite is an experience for Adam. Do you want to say?
So when he was little, he's embarrassed now. That's the problem with preacher's kids, right?
Yeah, they're older now.
When he was little and he was in the high chair and I was about to bring food to him, he would start dancing and he would make this cute little sound. You want to do it for us, Adam?
No. Go on,
No, I'll do it, but it's not perfect. It was kind of like a neigh or like a goat. It was like, Oh, did we hear it this week on Thursday?
A little bit, but not quite.
He's never going to come back. I'm sorry. So turn to your neighbor and share what you savored most this Thanksgiving or what you would have loved to have savored. A lot more people here.
Okay.
A lot more energy. I know I hear some sweet potato out there.
And stuffing.
And dressing. Okay, back to me.
Go ahead.
Do what I do in my classroom. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All thank right, you. Thank you. So Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Julie, did you look that up in the Greek?
Well, no, not Greek, because it's Old Testament. So what would the language be? Hebrew. Yes, Hebrew. And the word is ta'am. You knew it was Hebrew too.
Maybe.
Now that word means more than just tasting with your mouth. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It means to perceive, to discern, to experience. So in scripture, tasting becomes a bridge between the physical experience and the spiritual understanding. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
So Julie, when we savor together, we're not just enjoying food. We're understanding each other.
Yes.
Savoring slows us down long enough to actually see one another.
Exactly. To savor means to delight in the moment. The gift of, yeah, the food, the gift of being alive, but the gift especially of being together. But Brad, we can't savor anything if we're distracted by those phones and technology, right?
Yeah, the challenge here is that once we're at the table, Satan will try to distract us. Has he ever done that to you?
Yes.
Okay. Does it to all of us. All of a sudden, we're starting to see how maybe dusty or dirty the house is. Remember the email that we needed to send, or your phone is blown up with notifications. All these things happen when we try to get to the table.
Yeah, and I confess, I love the cooking, but the cleaning, I don't. And so, that was real life there.
I like to clean, though.
he's not a good cook, so we'll leave it at that. We're a good pair.
I can do brunch.
Yes.
Two things.
Yes, you can. Good. So we're going to move on.
More than that. But yeah.
So it's easy, though, to get distracted by the laundry you're thinking about, like you were saying, yeah, or the dishes on the counter. Yeah. What we have to do, though, is put the phones away. Turn them off, maybe. Quit looking at all those things around us that are distracting us and just look at the people.
When we put the distractions away and savor the moment, gratitude rises and blessings become visible. Gratitude rises and blessings become visible.
Like when my family is all gathered around the table, talking, eating, laughing, I look around. This was Thursday. I just looked around. I looked over at the next generation table, and I just was staring at them. I was so overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Any mamas know what I'm talking about out there? Yes, you're just overwhelmed with God's goodness.
Exactly. Gratitude grows in the soil of savoring. Thanksgiving isn't just a season, it's a posture.
Mm.
It opens our eyes to God's goodness.
Okay, I like that. Thanksgiving isn't just a season, it's a posture. And the more we practice that posture of thanksgiving, the better we get at it, the more blessings we see, right?
Right, Julie. What is the first thing we do after we sit down and before we eat?
We say the blessing.
That's
we
right.
give thanks.
Exactly. When we join our hands to pray, when we join our hands, and I hope we all do that. You join hands around the table. Sometimes it's just this, us, because it's only two of us. Sometimes it's four of us or maybe more. When we join our hands to pray and create a circle of gratitude, even after our hands release, the circle remains, carried through our conversations, our meal, and all the way through the rest of the day or the evening.
So that connection is still there. It's like electricity. It's
That's
still
right.
there. The family table, then, on any ordinary Thanksgiving. Wait a minute. Let me say that again. The Thanksgiving table can be... Wait. Let me say that again. I'm getting it all wrong. So any table can be a Thanksgiving table, right?
Yeah, the family table on any ordinary Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday can be a Thanksgiving table. It's a table of Thanksgiving. You got it.
I got it. It's a table of Thanksgiving. So the family table is where we sit. Do you remember? We sit and we savor.
And we share together. We share together. Something happens when we eat with others, right? As our mouths open to take in food, our hearts open too.
Mm.
Walls come down, conversations flow more naturally.
But again, Satan is going to attack.
That's right.
Because this is an altar of worship, and he tries to make it uncomfortable for us. But again, like practicing the gratitude, the more we practice the sitting together, the savoring together, the seeing each other, the more comfortable the sharing will be.
That's right. Sharing food leads to sharing stories, joys, sorrows, highs, lows.
And especially, this is my favorite, faith. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." So what are these words, these commandments that it's talking about here?
Well, these words are definitely the commandments, God's character, God's story that becomes our story.
So these commandments aren't just ancient words on a page. These words are alive. They're God's character and they're God's story. And they tell our story as well. So every time we talk about them at the table or elsewhere, we're recognizing that God has written us into his narrative of redemption.
That's really good. Written us into the narrative of his redemption. We're not just spectators. We're participants in his story.
Amen. And isn't that exactly what we want our kids to learn? What we want our loved ones to know? It's who they are and whose they are.
Yes, they belong to our family, but they also belong to God's great big family.
Amen. So this passage says, when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, that's all the time, isn't it? That's the table and beyond. So everyday conversations can become discipleship.
Some of the most important faith moments your family will ever have won't happen at church.
Oh, what'd you say?
They won't happen at church. They'll start at your table.
That doesn't mean it's not good to come to church.
That's right.
Come to church. But those moments of discipleship, those faith moments, start at the table. When our kids were little, we'd have family worship in the living room. We'd sing songs. We'd have games. We'd have little object lessons. But as they got older and their needs changed and we needed a captive audience, we'd take worship to the dinner table.
Right. We'd share Bible passage, devotional reading. Usually, though, it was just discussing what we each studied in our own personal times together that morning.
These discussions were sometimes deeply theological, but most of the times they were just talking about their day, talking about where they had seen God that day, what was going on in their lives, how they saw God working, and where they saw his presence.
The family table is a truly special place where families share together.
But Brad, it's not just for the people who live under your roof, right?
Exactly. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not forget to show hospitality, for by doing so, some have entertained angels."
Yeah. That means that our table shouldn't shrink. It should stretch.
Stretch. I love to stretch.
You do love stretching, like, but that's stretching. Not what I'm talking about.
No?
Yeah. Okay. It does feel good, but we're talking about growing, extending, like when we add a leaf to our table.
Our table leaves are huge, right, guys? Big, heavy, solid.
And they've got the big arms that poke out.
These slats that come out. We don't even know where to put them. We put them under Liam's bed, my youngest, and he's away at college, and they still stick out. And if you're walking around his room sometimes, you can stub your toe on these big, awkward leaves. But the reality is it's great when we have to pull them out.
Yeah, I love it when we have to add a leaf or two to the table, making room for someone who wasn't originally in the family. It's like the family tree. And our own family tree grew when Mason married Tiffany and Adam married Issa. We have new leaves in our family.
That's right.
We have new stories.
We can add new stories to our table by inviting others, welcoming others, neighbors, friends, church family, someone new, someone lonely, someone who needs a place. Tell them about our Thanksgiving week. Julie, what happened with the Thanksgiving?
So our Thanksgiving kind of grew and grew and grew and stretched. We started with just our family, which is the five of us, and then Mason and Tiffany and Issa, so that's seven. And then Issa's mom was going to be in town, so we had her to plan.
And
then her aunt from Brazil was coming. So how many are we at?
Nine.
Okay, then we always invite your brother, if he's in town, Brian, and his wife Miriam, and Brandon, their son.
12.
Well, Brandon's girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
She needed a place, so she came, and then we found 13. Out that Brandon's girlfriend's mother and cousin needed a place.
What about us?
Well, us.
Okay, it's
and
15.
Then we have Jonathan, who's like another son of
that's
ours.
That's right, at 16.
And we were going to have Ray, an old
sick.
Neighbor of ours, but he was sick. So we had to stretch the table. We had to add both leaves, and we even had to bring in another table to accommodate all that, right?
What about the food issue?
Well, I was confident.
Yeah.
But with that many people.
And we like to eat on Thanksgiving. It's just part of our natures, and we all do it. We really like food.
So
yeah.
We had
leftovers.
Yes, we do like the leftovers. So we had the one turkey, and of course the dinner roast and all the stuff. But as the number kept growing, we were worried. Some of the kids were worried there wouldn't be enough food. I'm not going to name the kids. But they were worried that there wouldn't be enough food and enough leftovers. But I said, hey, if God is bringing these people to our table, he will be faithful to stretch the food.
Stretch the food. It's kind of like the barley loaves and fishes. And he did, didn't he?
We
still have plenty of leftovers.
Plenty.
What is it about leftovers? How many of you like leftovers from Thanksgiving? Maybe because we're not trying to eat it all at once. You can space it out. And that
you can
microwave
savor them more.
Maybe they just kind of gel in the fridge or something. You know, it just all the things
like
come together.
Like the cranberry sauce.
You don't like cranberries. Yeah, you like cranberry
I
sauce.
I do. I make my own homemade.
I love the cranberry sauce.
Yes.
Okay. The table becomes a ministry when it extends.
So it's a ministry of sharing our table and the food, but also sharing the togetherness that happens around the table.
So sitting, savoring, sharing, and that togetherness gets extended to others.
So we serve others. Jesus said in Matthew 25 that when we feed and serve others, we are in fact serving him. He said, whatever you did for the least of these, you did it for me. So every time we offer food or warmth or listening to others, we're serving Jesus himself.
So the table becomes a place where the love of God is practiced, IRL, in real time.
So let's go back and look at Luke 10, where it says that Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. That Greek word is hupatokomai. And it's more than just politeness. It's a deliberate embrace, often at a personal cost. And it makes me think of how Jesus embraced us.
Amen.
God embraced us at a personal cost, and that was his son. So if Jesus sacrificed for me, then I can sacrifice for others, right?
That's right.
But you know, sometimes the hardest sacrifice is our privacy, is our pride. It's that Sabbath afternoon time that you want to take a nap.
Naps, lay activities. No, we don't do that.
It's about having a perfectly clean house. That's that personal cost.
So it's not about a perfect house or even perfect food.
Right. Even peanut butter and jelly or chili, a can of soup can minister to someone's soul.
How about Cheerios?
Cheerios, too.
Oh, that'd be a stretch.
Because it's all right. Not about the food, right?
But Julie, not everyone loves to cook or can cook like the way you do. You know?
Well, you're right. I said I'm a good cook. But all you got to do then is DoorDash something.
Oh, DoorDash. Hey, Uber Eats, DoorDash, bring it in, make it like it's your own, and they'll never know.
Right. Brad, all of this, though, points to something much bigger. The banquet table in heaven.
It's a table of restoration, the banquet table of heaven, celebration, salvation. Just like Thanksgiving is a culmination of days of preparation, the heavenly banquet will be the joyful culmination of Christ's work. Mm. Revelation 19 describes a feast for every tribe and every nation.
So we're not all going to look alike at that table, right?
No.
But it's going to be one giant family. So every time we invite somebody to our everyday table, our holiday table, our Sabbath table, we're giving them a small taste of that heavenly table. We're sharing with them that God has invited them into that family, to his table, and that no matter how broken they feel, because God is there, he has a space for them, and he has made them not broken.
God has always loved tables.
He has. Great things happened around tables. I think of the Last Supper with Jesus.
Right, where Jesus broke the bread and served the wine, symbolizing his sacrifice for humanity.
And I also think about the early church. It says in Acts 2:42,
That they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. And then in verse 46, it says, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts.
So notice what it doesn't say here. It doesn't say they prepared gourmet meals.
No, they didn't.
It doesn't say their house was spotless. It doesn't say the table was Instagram worthy. Although this year mine was.
Yes,
because somebody else was decorating it.
That's right. It does say this, that they ate together, not fancy meals, but shared meals. Meals marked by glad and sincere hearts.
So the early church wasn't built on grand ministries and programs. It was built on tables.
On believers opening their homes, passing the bread, and sharing their lives.
It was the simple act of gathering that formed their unity. Food wasn't the point, was it?
No.
The fellowship was.
And that's still true today, wouldn't you say? It's still true today. Your table doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be open.
Open, an open table. So let's recap. The family table becomes a sacred space when we sit.
Choosing presents.
When we savor.
Practicing gratitude.
When we share.
Forming community and passing on faith.
When we stretch.
Extending the table to welcome others.
And finally, when we serve.
Reflecting the heart of Jesus at the table.
So whether your home is full of kids.
Or you're single.
Or your family doesn't look or feel the way you imagined it to be.
The table you have, big or small, simple or fancy, is holy because God meets people there.
Amen. The family table is the Lord's table.
It's a sacred space.
It's an altar of worship.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.